Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. My name is Josh McCarthy with WOKV, and I wanted to welcome you to the newest day of our Ask the Experts weekend. And as you know by now, this expert show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies as he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals, all done with an honest and entertaining filter. Take it away, Pete, the job guy Langlois.
Good morning, all you hard workers. Welcome to this Sunday. Guys, I hope you got up, you put the dog out, and you're ready to have some fun with me and my guest, my co-host today, Charlie Jimison, on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. As you know, every week I talk to you about everything careers. I try to give you advice that's going to help you to be better, more effective, more productive, and just have a better career. I tell you about all my little pitfalls and how I skinned my knees and how I took a left when I should have went right. Why? Not to just beat myself up, but so that you can listen to it, learn from it, and not repeat the mistakes I made. Now, today is a fun show. Today is an interactive show, and I want you to write this number down, guys, because I want you to be on the radio this morning and be a part of Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. The number is 855-765- 1045 FM 855-765-1045. Write that number down, because today it's interactive, and what we're going to be talking about is something that everybody can relate to. Why? Because we're all in the workforce. We're not a bunch of trust fund babies sitting on a pile of $100 bills, just peeling them off. Look at all this money. I'm making it rain in my living room. I'm laying on $100 bills. No, that's not you, and it's certainly not me. I work for a living. You work for a living. Charlie works for a living. But the jobs we're in now, and everybody's career, is not like linear. You didn't, okay, I'm going to do X for this number of years, and then I'm going to do Y to get to Z. It's not always like that. You have all these letters in between, A, B, C, D, and then I went to M. We all had weird jobs. We all had a first job. We all had the worst job that you could imagine. We had a crazy boss that was nuts. We've dealt with so much in our careers. And as my dad used to say, that puts hair on your chest. Well, I got enough hair on my chest to weave a rug then. Because I'm telling you, I've done some weird jobs. But you know what? I want to introduce myself a little bit better, tell you who I am. Then I'm going to ask Charlie to do the same. My name is Pete, the job guy Langlois. And when I'm a staffing expert. I've been in staffing and recruiting for over 20 years. I help build SNI companies to $120 million revenue, annual revenue, with 35 offices and over 400 employees. I've helped literally thousands and thousands of people with their career journey. I help them get that next step in their professional career. I help them to find a dream job, or I get them a temp job. But I like helping people, and I am a career expert, so I know what I'm talking about. And now let me introduce the world-famous Charlie Jimison. Charlie, let's hear a little bit about you.
Pete, you bad mamma jamma. Great to be with you today, buddy.
Glad you are here.
Let's see, a little bit about me. I'm the managing partner of a law firm, Jimerson Burr. It is one of the 3 years in a row, top 100 fastest growing law firms in the country. And we've been honored with statewide and local awards as one of the best places to work and for fast growing companies. By trade, I'm a business lawyer. Have a particular emphasis in litigation, but I get involved in transactional and regulatory matters as well. Our law firm is a full-service law firm, and it addresses and is able to address the legal needs of any business and any type of industry and pretty much any issue that they're going to have. If we can't handle it, we certainly know the right specialist to get you to. Kind of like you, I'm a bit of a – I like helping people, and I like solving problems. So I'm a problem solver by trade. It doesn't matter what the problem is. I have a particular acumen of getting it solved and getting it to the right places, hopefully to meet the goals. So whatever the business problem is, our law firm can solve it.
Outstanding. Now, both of us, this is where we're at right now. And I love my job. I love what I do. I got to tell you this. I didn't always do this. And I want to tell you, one of my first jobs that I've ever had. Now, Now, I'm going to talk about my first legit job, because before that, I used to knock on doors when it snowed out up in Tewksbury, Massachusetts, knock on the door, shovel your driveway for a dollar. And I did it all the time. And I shoveled driveways. And if it was the summertime, there's no snow on the ground, I did the same thing. I'd push a lawnmower around. And back then, they didn't even have engines on them. Okay, it had rotisserie blades. I'm pushing this thing back and forth to do it. I'm old, all right? I see everybody looking. I know I'm old. But, you know, stuff like that, I did quite a bit, and I saved my little bit of money. But my first legit job, where you actually had a pay stub and Uncle Sam's taking some taxes out, I worked at Papa Gino's at the Oakdale Mall in Tewksbury, Massachusetts. Okay, I was 16 years old, and I went in and filled out my application before I was 16. And Al, the manager, was like, he couldn't wait to hire me. But as soon as my birthday came, I was employed at Papa Gino's. And I wasn't making pizza first. I made subs, and I made the best subs. I made sure my grill was perfectly clean and clear all the time. I swept. I took my job seriously because I was a hard worker, and this hard worker made $3.35 an hour minimum wage.
Big
and I did it
with
a smile on my face. What did you do?
Well, let's see. So like you, I had a good run of what I would not by any means call them illegitimate jobs, but I'm not sure that they show up on my Social Security tax contributions.
Right.
So, you know, when I was 10, I was working in my granddaddy's nursery, weeding potted plants. That was a tough job.
That's a sexy gig right there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, just good manual labor. And by the time I was 12, I had my own lawn business and was working in the neighborhood. I was actually talked about that a good amount this week. My son right now is into collecting football cards. And it's life is just coming full circle for me because I was really into baseball and football cards at the time. So I distinctly remember I would on summer afternoons or summer days, I would grab my lawnmower, just walk around the neighborhood, mow people's lawns from anything from $2 to $5 an hour, and then I would take all my money and go to the convenience store and blow it on baseball cards.
So, well, you were big money. You were doing the $2 and $5 cuts. I couldn't make that kind of cash.
You know, I lived in a rural neighborhood, so there at the time, and if there was in Florida, but where I was, it's a little bit rural, so we had acre lots. I mean, this was pretty hard labor for me.
So yours actually had an engine on it. You had the lawnmower you used.
Yeah, not that self-propelled Nancy stuff, you know.
Nancy stuff. Are you kidding me? I was worn out
at the end of that. Yours was far more manual than mine was. I mean, I had a push mower, but it wasn't self-propelled and it wasn't a rider by any means.
Yeah.
And you know, somehow I managed to not chop my toes off along the way.
Right. I remember the blizzard of 78. Okay. This was this huge snowstorm that came down in 1978 when most listeners weren't even alive yet, you know, way back when. And this blizzard, I remember it not just for the conditions, I remember it for the money that I made because I was able to go like a third of the way through the storm, shovel a driveway, and I could go back an hour later and reshovel it, making more money. I made bank on the blizzard of 78.
Yeah, absolutely. It reminds me of pretty much every time a hurricane came through, I would just grab my chainsaw and walk around the neighborhood and see if I could, you know, make a buck or two helping people saw off trees that, you know, they had fallen down in the storm. So, you and I have been opportunists, I guess, in that regard.
Entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Guys, I want to make sure everybody knows the number to go ahead and dial in and tell us about your first job. Our number is 855-765-1045. 855-765-1045. Charlie, another job that I had, and this is early on my career, another one that puts hair on your chest, is I cleaned a canteen truck. You know what a canteen truck is?
Pray tell, Pete.
Okay. This is, you know those trucks that pull up to a construction site and they open up and you get ready-made sandwiches and coffee.
Yeah, roach coaches.
There you go. The roach coach. Precursor to the food trucks that are out there.
Exactly.
Now. So this is, you know, the old silver ones that are, you know exactly what they look like. So this guy lived around the corner and a friend, Peanut Bassett, he quit it and called me and said, hey,
Peanut Bassett.
Yes.
I got to know more about Peanut Bassett.
I'll tell you, he's Peter now. He did change his name.
Of course.
Peanut. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't blame. But anyway, he told me, hey, I'm quitting this job. You should go over, knock on the guy's door. It'd be a good time for you to say that you're available, which I did. And I went and he said, here's the way it works is, you know, I come back, the truck's dirty and depleted. You have to take everything out, make sure you rotate the product in his cellar, which they have up north is a basement. They don't have them down here because the water table's a little high. But you, in his cellar, he had like a full stock room of everything, all the soft drinks, the coffees. He had refrigerators with sandwiches and everything. So he would drive it back to his driveway, and I would just unload everything, put the old stuff up front, the new stuff in the back, clean it, spotless, everything. He gave me $50 cash per week.
Wow.
What's up, man?
I was
like 15 years old.
Wow.
$50 a week? Are you kidding me?
What were you doing with that kind of coin?
I saved it for a long, long time because I had to buy a 1972 Super Beetle as my first car. I bought it for $250.
Very
so,
nice.
You know, I mean, it's
very nice.
Back in the day.
Cruising the strip.
But let me hear another one from you.
Yeah. So, so after the mowing lawns thing, when I was about 12, I got a job. Is doing door-to-door surveys for a cable company at a quarter a survey. So nice. I think this is really just like a ripoff from my Uncle Louie, who was like this.
Uncle Louie!
Yeah, Uncle Louie never worked a day in his life. Uncle Louie is a guy who I learned a lot from in life, mainly just trying to do things that Uncle Louie didn't do. And Uncle Louie, I think that was his job, like to collect these surveys, but he like subcontracted his job to me as a 12-year-old.
Well, of course
and, like,
he did.
Paid me like a quarter.
Right.
So, you know, Uncle Louie, I guess the statute of limitations for that criminal act is probably expired. So you're in the clear, Louie, wherever you are. So let's see. I did the door-to-door surveys. Then I had like this great sweet gig where I was working as a tape runner for NBC Sports. And there was this golf tournament in Sarasota where I grew up called the Chrysler Cup. And I would, every year it came to town, I would link up with this radio announcer and I would go out on the golf course with them. And when Chichi Rodriguez holes in a putt, and it's on the sixth hole, the farthest, it's half a mile away from the clubhouse, they hand it to little 12-year-old Charlie, and he literally sprints back to the clubhouse so that it gets broadcast to the world on NBC Sports. So,
yes, sir, yeah. The tape runner.
Yeah, it was a great one. Great. I got all the, it was really, the perks of the job were autographs on that one, and
yep.
And I did get to meet Michael Jordan, so that was interesting. But, you know, aside from, oh, and I did have a job also, Pete. I worked as a commercial fisherman on a mullet boat.
No way.
Yeah. So from 11 to 13, I would go on my Uncle Bobby's mullet boat. And
Uncle Bobby's mullet boat.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good band name.
So Uncle Louie was my Aunt Libby's second husband.
Yep.
Uncle Bob. And you know, I think my Aunt Libby might even be interesting listening in. So shout out to Uncle Libby or Aunt Libby.
Libby.
Aunt Libby and my newest Uncle David, who is probably the coolest uncle of all of them.
Libby and David.
Yeah,
shout out.
Yeah, big shout out. She finally found her man.
Yeah.
Let's see. Uncle Bobby ran a mullet boat, and my cousin Brandon and I would do these all-night fishing trips with Bobby, and our job was to pull the mullet out of the nets that he would net and then subsequently put them on ice and deliver them to the docks to be weighed and sold to the fish house. So this is my litany of illegitimate jobs as a kid.
I got one for you.
Yeah, what you got?
Okay. So when I worked at Papa Gino's, I decided, look, I'm going to take that money, but on the weekends, I'm going to get this other job that I heard about. I went to North Meadow Tennis Club, and they needed a dishwasher. So I go there, and I'm going to be working weekends there. And I, at the same time I started, another guy started. He's a few years older than me, about 4 or 5 years older than me. His name's Donnie O'Brien. So the two of us start at the same time, and they show us how to use the dishwasher and put the real hot glasses through this big machine and how to pre-wash before you put and stack the plates in. And then where you, when you take them out of the machine, where you have to bring them to the bar back and all that other stuff. So we both learned the job.
Dishwashing, by the way, was the worst job I ever had.
Yeah. This is a short-lived job, and you're going to hear about it real quick why this was one of the worst ones I ever had.
Okay.
So it was clear after we got our training on how to wash dishes, we start, and I realized that Donnie O'Brien was not going to work at all. His job was just to look at me and harass me. That was his job. He was bigger. He was older. And
there's a Donnie O'Brien at every job out there
yeah,
in the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, yeah, they're out there. And this was my first experience with someone that had, you know, he didn't care about his job. He knew he was only going to be there for a few weeks, and he's just going to try to get paid and do nothing. So I'm doing my job and his, and he's, you know, just dilly-dallying or going around, and then he'd come in and laugh at me for working. And finally, I just got all fed up with my, you know, 130 pounds of dynamite that I was back then. And Donnie's this big guy, and I was like, I'm going to kill you, you and me outside right now, right now. Well, later in I quit not long after that because, I mean, I think I only worked 2 weekends. But I'm
sure that wasn't a forced resignation.
Probably. But the funny part was, you know, his brother and I became really, really good friends. Jim O'Brien, OB, Jimmy Two Fingers from Massachusetts.
Two Fingers.
Yeah, yeah, that's his name. So, but
which two fingers does he have?
Right. Yeah, he cut his thumb off in a construction accident. So somehow we call him Two Fingers after that.
It's better than Jimmy No Thumbs.
Right. But the funny part is I had kind of forgotten about that. And it was burned into my brain for a while, but 25, 30 years later, Jimmy says, do you remember when you tried to call my brother Donnie out, his older brother too, and I was like, oh my God, I forgot all about that. But anywho, that's the full circle. It was the worst job that I ever had.
Yeah, I had a run from 16 or 15 and 16, I was the bus boy and dishwasher at a seafood restaurant called The Flying Bridge, and that was probably the worst job I ever had because I just found dishwashing utterly disgusting. I didn't have a fancy dishwasher to put things through, so I was manually doing it. So I'm with you on that. I feel your pain.
All right. Well, we have a couple people holding right now. Let's take a call, Charlie. What do you say? You ready for that?
Love it. Love the callers.
All right. First call looks like it's Libby. Libby, are you there? Hello, Libby? I know. I see it on the screen. All right. Hang on. We'll get back to Libby in a second. And but, okay, other jobs that I've had, I've cleaned a lot of people. Oh, is she on now? Hello, Libby. Welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. How are you doing this Sunday morning?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Oh, we're doing we're having a great time, Charlie and I. And you hear us talking about our worst and first jobs. I'm sure you're sitting on something big. What you got, Libby?
Well, it's not really all that big. I was just going to say that ever since Charlie was a little kid, he always knew he wanted more in life and was going to get it. And he definitely has. And
thanks, Aunt Libby.
Him and my son were more like brothers, really, and were with each other all the time. Hello?
Hello.
What happened?
Nothing.
We're with you. We're with you.
Hey, Libby, was he Was he mischievous?
Sorry, I don't know what happened.
Was he mischievous at all? Did Charlie ever get in trouble?
Yes, he was.
Could you share a story about that?
Well, all my clients need to turn the radio off right now.
I'm on here.
No. You're good, Libby.
I'm good. Okay, David's going. They're asking for you. Well, I don't know what he did, but I remember one time, whatever it was, I was actually going to probably spank his little butt, which I hardly ever did, but he climbed a tree then, too, and I couldn't get him, and he stayed in that tree, like, for hours.
Libby, I'm going to tell you, when I came here this morning to the studio, Charlie was up in a tree. He's firing acorns down at me, and I couldn't get him down. I'm like, we're going to be late for the show, and he's firing acorns at me. Same Charlie.
So, Libby's son, Brandon, was the well-behaved, sweet little boy, and I was the one who had a little bit of a mischievous side to me. So our grandparents got us T-shirts that were matching, and they called him Bratty Brandon, and I was Darlin' Charlie, and the joke was on us.
Oh, I love it. Well, Libby, thank you for joining us this morning. We're glad to have you on. Guys, if you want to join in and be part of this discussion, dial us, 855-765-1045, 855-765-1045. We're talking about our worst jobs, our first jobs, the crazy boss that we know we all had. And remember, all this stuff, as my dad said, put a little bit of hair on your chest. And as I said earlier, I got enough hair on my chest to weave a rug because I have lived a life. My career has been a journey unlike anybody else's. Wait. Then I hear Charlie's, and he's had some of the same experience. When we come back, we're going to tell you about the fact we both went enlisted into the military, and it helped shape our careers. So we're going to tell you all about that. We have some other exciting stories, but we really, really want to hear yours. 855-765-1045. Charlie, I think we got another minute to talk about. Let me ask you this question, and this is kind of from left field. But if you had to have hand-to-hand combat, and you had to have a fight where you're going to have to tap the other person out or get tapped, and you have to take someone that's famous with the same first name as you, let's say Charlie, who are you taking down?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. That's an amazing question. So the most famous Charlie out there is probably the one that comes to mind is Charlie Sheen. I think I pretzel that dude.
Oh, I think you'd take him down.
Yeah, I ground and pound him out within the first minute.
Yeah, Jimerson looks like he'd be a handful for anybody. So, all right, we got another caller on the line. Ryan, I'm going to ask you to hold for just a second. I see you're there, and I have two callers. But, Ryan, you're up next, so we're gonna have to take a break. We're coming to the bottom of the hour. And, folks, I want everybody to please join in and be part of the discussion. 855-765-1045. And do we have to go to the break yet, or we still got a minute? We got a couple minutes. Then I want to hear the Charlie Sheen. You're going to take him down? You're going to punch him in the face? Or
I think I beat him up with the jab a little bit first, but then soften him up. I might I'll toy with him. You know, I just ground and pound him, whatever I want to do. If I want to come with an overhand, I got an overhand on him. But here's the crux of that question, though, Pete. So I'm Charlie. My real name's Charles, and some of my knucklehead military friends would call me Chuck. So if I got to fight a Charles,
oh, you're in trouble with Chuck.
I'm not going to beat up Charles Barkley. I think he's got me. And if I got to fight a Chuck, I'm really screwed because I'm not beating up Chuck Norris, and nobody is, and I'm not beating up Chuck Liddell.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, so I got to pick Charlie Sheen out of that right. Triumvirate.
When I think, like, for me, the Petes, you know, you have some musicians, Pete Wentz, Pete Townsend, Pete Best from the original Beatles drummer. I can take all of them. And then I go to, sports. Pete Rose, you know, maybe in his young days, you know, would go at it. Pete Carroll.
Pete Sampras can't volley with you.
Oh, Pete Sampras, no he's way. Going down. I'll probably take the legs down, go for a wrestling move, choke him out. So.
Peter Gabriel, you'll take him up to the top of Salisbury Hill and roll him down.
All right. Guys, we're coming to the bottom of the hour right now, and you're probably going to hear the hustle. You're going to hear some music. It's going to let you know that you're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV.
And welcome back, Jacksonville. This is WOKV's Josh McCarthy here with Pete Langlois and Charlie Jimerson. And we are doing this little recap lesson of our first, our worst, and our most interesting jobs we've had before we got to the present day. And we've had some interesting stories from mowing lawns without a motor. I can't imagine that. It reminds me of the Flintstones, the little turtle snapping away at the grass. And we also have the dishwashing stories, which I have to agree may have been the worst couple days of my life. Well, now we're going to take it back to you guys. Pete, Charlie?
Oh, you know, I like Charlie up in the tree when Aunt Libby called. That was my favorite.
Yeah.
Guys, I want you to be part of the discussion. The number today is 855-765-1045. If you want to tell us about your worst job, your first job, funny story about your career, we want to hear it. So next up, we have Ryan. Ryan has been very patiently holding. Let's get Ryan. Welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Good morning, sir. What you got? I know you got a good story.
Well, I've got something about your previous segment regarding your problem with Charlie Sheen and how to solve it.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I want to hear that.
I need help. I'm pre-fight planning.
Yeah, so here's your solution. His real name is not Charlie. His real name is Carlos Estevez. His stage name is Charlie, so you don't have to worry about it. You can take him off the real Charlie list. He's a He's a fake Charlie, as it were.
Okay, good. I'm scared of the Carloses. I mean, those Mexican fighters, they've got endurance.
Good arms. Good arm. Tell me about your career. Ryan, what do you got? Tell us a good story.
Well, here's my story about a job I was thinking about today, because my son wants to plant a garden today. And so we're going to go to the store. We're going to buy some seeds. And one of my jobs, I went to college in Iowa. And in the summer, my job was to work for the seed company. So they have all these big seed companies in Iowa. And what happens is when you go to garden center to buy tomatoes and cucumbers and everything else, those seeds are sold to the greenhouses on consignment, meaning that in the summertime when planting season's over, they send guys with big vans and 100-pound burlap sacks to collect every seed that hasn't been sold, and the store gets credit for those. So they only, in fact, pay for the stuff that they sell.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a couple summers, my job was to get in a van in Iowa and drive down to Georgia and go to every greenhouse in the state of Georgia with 100-pound burlap sacks, pack them full of seed, and ship them back to headquarters in Iowa.
That's a great job.
I bet you met some characters along the way.
There is no more miserable place in the middle of July and August than greenhouses in southern Georgia.
Did they have a fancy title? Like, were you the seed engineer?
No.
Director of seed development?
Seed guy. So I would lose 10 to 15 pounds every summer. You're sitting in these places, they're 125, 130 degrees, because it's 100 degrees outside and you add 20 degrees in the greenhouse. Packing up 100-pound burlap packs of seed, throwing them back of a van, and shipping them off at the next truck center.
Oh, I love it. I love these stories.
You were lean and mean. You were running and ripping then, though.
Lean and mean. By the end of the summer, I was a sexy sex machine.
Maybe. I don't know you, Ryan, but I bet that might have been one of the last times you had six-pack abs.
Yeah, I've been sporting like a keg since.
Yeah.
One solid ab.
Ryan, thank you for calling in this morning. Guys, if you want to be part of the discussion, call 855-765-1045. Now, Charlie, tell us a little bit about a store called TJ Maxx.
Oh, yeah. I never got to answer the question of, you know, what the legitimate gig is. So we went through all my informal jobs, you know, the things that the Pete and Charlies of the world, when they're hustling as young teenagers, precocious young Turks, they're trying to make some money. Before the TJ Maxx job, my first real corporate gig was a sandwich artist at Subway. So that was solid. It had a lot of perks. Came home with a nice sub every night.
Oh, yeah. You can't beat that.
And, so then I got, a job as the men's associate at TJ Maxx. That was my longest job as in my teen years. It was 2 years. And that was a really important job for me because I wore a tie to the job. And growing up in a family full of laborers, that was always a measurement of success for me. Like, people who wore ties to a job, those were really important people.
You know what's interesting is, as a young person, I always wanted to wear a tie and carry a briefcase.
Of course. Yeah.
Let's take one more call. You want to take one more call, and then we'll go to Coach Larry's segment. And is that call ready yet? Or
it's just being screened right now.
Oh, yeah. Being screened. You think you're going to get through, like, without being screened? We got screeners here.
I got a great story of on the TJ Maxx job. So I worked there for 2 years, and I won all sorts of, like, employee of the month type of things. I took my job pretty serious there. You know, I was really into the TJ Maxx corporate culture. I had this insufferable manager who had, like, he ostensibly had mortgaged his future to buy this Porsche. So he came in, he was a TJ Maxx manager, came in, he was so pretentious about everything. And my job, I think I made minimum wage $4.25, and at my 1 year salary mark, 17-year-old Charlie gets this glowing review, and I get firewall fives across the table, and I got every laudable accolade you could have. And my raise was a nickel.
Good for you.
You know, from 4.25 to 4.30. And I think this was a sign of things to come for who I became as a professional a lawyer. I looked my pretentious manager in the eye and said, "After all of that, you're going to give me a nickel raise?" I said, "I tell you what, I don't want your nickel. I'd rather work for my 425 because I think you guys clearly need it more than I do.
Wow, you showed him. How long did you stay there after that?
I actually ended up staying a year, and I absolutely did make 425. I refused to take the nickel for a year.
I'm not taking that nickel.
Yeah, just out of principle.
All right, right. Let's take one more call, and then we'll go over to our Coach Larry segment. Lori has been waiting patiently. Lori, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Hey, Pete, how are you?
How are you? Good to hear you. Lori's been a guest on the show before, I think twice. This is Lori Day.
Welcome back, Lori.
I recognize that voice. So you got a funny story?
Oh, my gosh. Pete, when you're talking about all the weird and wonderful things that got us to where we are, it just brings me back to memories. So when I started thinking about first and worst, which I've got more worst than first, but
don't we all is right.
I started thinking about my first job, and it was when I was in fourth grade, and back in the, you know, in the previous century, we had this thing where you could sell greeting cards, and you would go door to door, and so I got my very first checking account, and I would sell greeting cards door to door. And the margins were amazing. So for every box of cards that I sold that were, I think, $2.95, they were $1.95. So I was making $1 a box.
Holy cow.
Wow.
Exactly. I'm like, where is that now?
Huge
Why
money.
Don't I kind of have my side hustle going with that?
I'd say Lori, Charlie, and I, let's go get some cards. Let's get boxes of cards and go door to door.
Yeah, I'm in. Spreading cheer. Right. I mean, think you're spreading great positive messages too.
Yep.
We should be paying them.
We had the all assortment box. We had the sympathy box. We had the birthday box. It was and now I think about it, I was going to strangers' houses and just knocking on the door. Hi, you know, I'm selling cards.
That's
funny how those things never crossed our minds.
Right, yeah, back then, knocking on the door, ringing the doorbell, you don't know what's behind door number two, right?
Yeah, thanks for nothing, Uncle Louie. Well,
yeah, hi, Mr. Yeah. Gacy, thank you.
And so I look back and I think, well, you know, the resilience about learning to accept no was certainly an early lesson through that process, and being able to manage, you know, orders and deliveries and all of that. So I guess that was really my first entrepreneurial gig.
You know what's great, Lori, is there's a silver lining in everything. Even when you have the worst job, it enables you to appreciate what you have that much more. And everything you learn from, every career, every job that you've had is part of your journey. And we're a sum total of our life's experiences. That's who we are. And, you know, even the worst part was what? A learning lesson. You learned, I don't like that. You stick your finger in the socket, you get shocked, you don't do that again, right? So I don't think I'm going to be selling cards anymore door to door, right, Lori? You're probably done with that. But, you know, it helped you. It helped you on your journey. All right, Lori, thank you for joining us. Let's move on to our next. Right now, it's one of my favorite parts of the show. This is where we have leadership lessons from Coach Larry. Now, Coach Larry, he is a career expert, and he's been teaching and training managers to become effective leaders. This is a good point in the show to get down a pen, jot down some notes of something you're going to do differently as a result of listening to Coach Larry's segment. All right, with no further ado, Josh, let's hear leadership lessons from Coach Larry.
I'll never forget that morning in Lima, Peru. I was having breakfast with my wife. I like to eat soft-boiled eggs when I travel to nice hotels for some reason. Actually, I know the reason, but that's for another day. So I was eating my soft-boiled eggs, and I had a keynote to deliver at an HR conference on my new book, The Arco Effect. It's a book that explains a coaching technique I created and currently use. The feeling I had was that I finally achieved my life's goal. I was having breakfast with the most important person in my life. The kids are important too. But I was relaxed. I was not stressed about the fact that I was about to deliver a keynote to 1,000 people that very same morning. It sounds amazing, right? Well, what you don't know is that this didn't happen. At least it hasn't happened yet. Today, I want to talk about goal setting and how we can make them more powerful by visualizing experiences. My life's goal is about being free and serving others. In my scenario, I was free because I wasn't worried about what I was going to say. I knew my content inside and out. I was free because opportunities were coming to me rather than me hunting them down. I was free because I was getting to choose the work I did and with whom I did it. So how did I come up with this experience I just shared about having breakfast and doing a keynote in Lima, Peru? I was being coached recently on my goal of writing a book, and my coach was asking me about what it would be like to achieve this goal. He did an amazing job at pushing me to visualize and feel that I have achieved my goal. He asked, what does my definition of freedom mean? What does it look like and sound like? That's when this experience of having breakfast with my wife became very vivid and very real. Most of us use SMART goals. SMART goals are good. We need measurable goals. We need to attach numbers to our goals. The way the brain works is that when you set a measurable goal, it consciously and subconsciously will be thinking about ways on how to close that gap. Ever notice you might be driving or taking a shower and ideas just come to you? Well, that's because you set yourself a measurable goal and the brain is working at trying to close that gap. It doesn't like to leave things open. But what we often forget is that the brain loves vivid experiences. My college roommate, Chad, played for our golf team in college. I remember he'd be in the room lying in his bed with his eyes closed, and he was awake. It turns out Chad had a golf match that next day, and he was visualizing every shot of every hole that he was going to take. What Chad knew way back then, and most athletes know, is that the brain, it really doesn't know the difference between thoughts and reality. I'm always amazed when athletes, under pressure, they hit that free throw, or they make that putt, or they hit the single to win the game. And it's not only because they've practiced this for hours, but they have also visualized being in just that spot thousands of times. So back to SMART. When I teach workshops on goal setting, I ask people to bring in their current goals. I ask them if they are motivated or excited about achieving those goals. It is so rare when someone says, yes, I'm excited about my goals. For me, my goal is to write my book by the end of this year. Is it a SMART goal? Yeah, for the most part, it is. Is it motivating? Nope. It stresses me out, actually. So the key to achieving goals is making them experiences, to attach life events to them, to visualize moments that you'll never forget because you have achieved your goal. We need to feel the goal and make them as vivid and real as possible. For me, it was the experience of being in an interesting place and eating a food that has deep meaning with the one I love. But what about you? What experience do you want to have? When you achieve your goal, who will you be with? What will you be doing? And what will that feel like? Please let me know. Reach out to me if you'd like to talk about your professional or personal goals. Or reach out to me if you're in Lima, Peru, and would like me to deliver a keynote. Make sure you have the soft-boiled eggs ready. Back to you.
Oh, thank you so much, Coach Larry. I'm going to tell you, I just sometimes the present, the wrapping is just as good as the present. Larry gives you a gift each week, guys, but I love the wrapper that it comes in, his stories, and he paints a picture with his words and the soft-boiled eggs and all that stuff. I just get a kick out of it.
I'd run through a wall for Coach Larry.
Who wouldn't, right? And guys, Coach Larry is the chief learning officer for Mendoza and O'Brien. Go out to Mendoza and O'Brien, reach out to Larry, and you'll be glad you did. Charlie, let's so far we've talked a lot about our worst jobs, our first jobs, weird jobs. We've had callers calling in and tell us and share their funny stories. But all of these things kind of, you know, while you were in that moment, it wasn't so bad. And, you know, having these jobs kind of makes you who you are today. What do you think about that?
Yeah, very much so. So we were asking, what's the worst job you had? And I think that there are jobs which at the time I might have thought they were crummy. But looking back on it, I don't think I had a worse job at all. I've probably had 20 different jobs in my life, and they felt less than desirable in the instant. But, you know, it's not the destination so much as it is the journey. And you take each job, I take something from it, and it's a step of my life that I have learned something from. And there's a lot of positives that I've taken from each one of those experiences, whether it be in the actual function of the job or whether it be the people and the relationships that I got to build. And, you know, sometimes in life, I learned this a lot when I was in the military, and I learned it now reflecting back upon my military 10 years, that you're actually the happiest when you're the most miserable, you know?
You don't even know what you don't
even
know.
And I look back on some of these crummy jobs at times, they were all awesome jobs, and I loved it. And there's not a single one where I would change anything about the experience.
Oh, that is fantastic. You know, speaking of relationships that you've built over time and in your career and different things you've done, you know, Larry O'Brien, Coach Larry, and I worked together over 25 years ago at Merrill Lynch, and we've stayed friends ever since. That brings me to another friend that I'm about ready to introduce here in a second, is Boston Danny. Boston Danny and I met when we left MEPS in Boston, Massachusetts, on our way to boot camp. And that's over 35 years ago. And Danny and I have been friends ever since.
Was sleepless night of my life, by the way. The night before MEPS, before you go into basic training.
Yeah, you get in there at 3 a.m. and at 4 a.m. they're throwing a trash can down the middle of the thing, waking you up. Let's go! All right, with no further ado, let's go to Boston Danny with our Boston update.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here, giving you the witty insight from up north. Well, you know I love Boston, and I'm not at all shy about giving you the reasons for my arguments that Boston is one of the greatest places on earth. You know I mean it. True, the winters up here are undeniably terrible, but if you're going to live in the northern half of the United States, you have to deal with crappy winter weather. That being said, Boston is one of the prettiest cities in America. When the leaves are turning colors and it's not too hot or too cold out, you just gotta love it up here. It's beautiful. And the people here are often smart and funny. Look how many comedians come from Boston. Jay Leno, Amy Poehler, Stephen Wright, Mindy Kaling. But I don't need to keep going on. You know what's funny. It's not an accident. People from Boston are always just looking for the funny side of life. Also in Boston, you're always a short drive. Distance-wise anyway, traffic can be a little difficult. From going to the Cape or to Martha's Vineyard, to have yourself a great beach weekend or a romantic interlude. I just can't wait for winter to be over. Also, Boston is a reasonably clean city, at least in the nicer parts of town, like Dorchester, and the rents are reasonably low compared to New York or Los Angeles anyway. And living in the city, you really don't need a car. Everything is accessible by the MBTA or walking, so that's a good thing. Also in Boston, you're never without a good public radio station, which can come in handy. And we have great libraries, and some of the packies are now open on Sundays, so we got that going for us. And I'm sorry, but I don't care where you're from, New England seafood is far superior than anything you've ever had. It's always fresh from the North Atlantic, often deep fried, and there is none better. Clam chowder isn't chowder without the cream. And until you've had a quart of Ipswich fried clams from Woodman's in Essex, you haven't had a real fried clam. The clam box is okay, but Woodman's, that's where you gotta go. The best ever. Sure, we may be a little casual when we dress. Sports team jerseys and hoodies with jeans are perfectly acceptable evening wear to us. And we do love our North Face jackets, and the girls cannot get enough of UGG boots. But comfort wins over fashion every time. So for shout outs, I'd like to give a hearty congratulations to Ryan and Marissa on the safe arrival of your baby girl. Soon your lives will be filled with dolls, dresses, fairies, and all things pink. wishing you all the best. So happy Sunday, brothers and sisters in Jacksonville. And Peter, so glad you do as you do. You keep on giving us reasons to be hard workers. And I'll be talking to you next week. So have a great day, folks.
Boston Danny, a true American patriot.
He's a hero.
That guy is what a legend. I need to meet this guy.
He doesn't even know he's got a big following down here. That's the funny part.
Unbelievable. Well, hey, Pete, I got a question for you because you've told me about some of your experiences, and you've got this amazing job, run this incredible company. You have success in any way that success can be measured.
I don't know about that, but...
Well, it's true. I mean, yeah. You've done a lot of amazing things. You've contributed positively to the world, and you've helped people's lives get better through your employment services. So I'm sure you're professionally and personally fulfilled, but is there anything that you miss about some of those jobs you used to have when you were a kid coming up?
Yeah, you know what? You know what I miss? Labor jobs. I really, really, when I was laying bricks, when I first got out of the Navy, before I went to Dale Carnegie training, there was kind of like this in-between period, and a good friend of mine owned a brick paver company. And he said, Pete, you can come work for me. He was paying me $500 a week, cash. And I was like, okay. So I go out there, and I'm loading bricks, and I'm a workhorse. And I loved it. I didn't have to think. I just worked hard all day.
Yeah.
And I did all the menial stuff. I wasn't good at surveying and you know, getting the grading properly, but I could move some bricks, boy. Uh-huh, sure. And I could lay them in the pattern, if it's herringbone or if it's, you know, whatever the pattern
was. Well,
you're
built like a brick house.
Well, come on now. I moved bricks, and I really, really enjoyed it. And you know, there's a different type of fatigue, muscle fatigue versus mental fatigue. And you know, because you're on all day long, you're on before you go to work, even after work. You're always thinking about, okay, so you know, if I have a new client, I'm thinking about all the due diligence I'm going to do prior to engaging. So you know, there's just so much. Oh, you know what, Charlie? There's not much time left in the show. I want to tell you a little bit about SNI Companies. That's my companies. If you need any type of staffing or recruiting assistance, or if you need help finding a job, we're professional staffing services. Dial SNI Companies 904-713-2550. 2550. Real easy. 904-713-2550. SNI Companies. And we're happy to help. Charlie, tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, Jimerson Burr. Website is jimersonfirm.com. J-I-M-E-R-S-O-N, firm.com. Full-service business law firm. Can handle any issue that touches a business.
Great. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you spending your Sunday morning with us on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV.